to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
Oh, yes. Welcome to episode 212 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. And yes, a very special night, the fourth annual Lap Traffic Awards show. A very special night with the show. It's become a tradition on the show to celebrate who you, the listeners, voted for. It's been a great way to close out the season officially for the Lap Traffic Podcast, give some massive shout-outs, send out some hardware, and have just an absolute blast tonight. And I am very, very excited. Hope you all had a great weekend, a great Thanksgiving. I mean, it was a little low-key up here. Did things a little unconventional because, hey, that is the way of 2020. Did some smoked bacon wrap fillets and a little surf and turf on Thanksgiving. And then did the traditional Thanksgiving on Saturday. Smoked a beautiful bird. It came out great. And now it's time to get ready for Christmas, which, I mean, hey, it's December 1st. It's just days away, which is very, very exciting. You know, the Crowd Griswold household is already decorated. It's been so for about a month. I'll get some pictures out here soon just to show you guys just how crazy Christmas has exploded in the house, because it's a spectacle. Let me tell you. All right. Real quick, if you didn't check out the last couple weeks' shows, make sure you go do that. The Lucky Dog recap show last week was a blast, and then the listener call-in show the week before, which is always a lot of fun. So go check that out. And I'm just going to tell you guys, I am dropping a teaser of all teasers here because I'm not sure of the official date of when something's going to break. However, I will tell you that you need to be on the lookout for something related to Pocono Raceway and the Lap Traffic Podcast. And that is all I'm going to say for now. I'm telling you that it's very cool. And be on the lookout for some cool things. That's all I'm going to say regarding Pocono and Lap Traffic. All right. So, whew, gotta take a deep breath here. Man, I'm pumped, and it's only 2:30 into the show. Tonight, the official award show, it closes out season four of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I can't believe four seasons are in the books. The next couple weeks, I'm kind of torn on what to do. You know, I can come babble for 20 minutes. I could do maybe another listener call-in. I could do a couple best ofs. If you guys got any ideas over the next week or two, I'm open. Let me know. I will say topics like, you know, a silly season recap, fantasy, that'll come after the new year, but any fun things for the next week or two, let me know. I will tell you, the week of the 21st and 28th will for sure be some best of shows with the holidays and all that. If there is anyone you think I should highlight for the best of shows, let me know, and I'll maybe put those together. And like I said, after the first of the year, have updates and stuff for the 2021 Fantasy League, silly season. Might have a show dedicated to trucks, who knows. But man, next year, season five of the Lap Traffic Podcast, I can't believe it. I'm so excited. You know, I'll put some special things. You guys know I love milestones, so I mean, it's season five, gotta do something special, right? All right, before I get into award winners, I want to take a minute and just highlight some accomplishments. I can talk accomplishments of the show this year that I'm very proud of. And I owe a huge thank you to you, the listeners and the followers. The first, the show cracked over 100,000 total downloads, and it keeps climbing over 116,000 as we speak. I am just beyond words on that. That's incredible. And it's because you guys listen and download. So thank you. The show crossed the 5,000 follower mark on Twitter, which is absolutely amazing and would not have been possible without you guys retweeting the contest and all that good stuff and talking about the show. So huge thank you to you guys, the listeners, the followers, for making the Lap Traffic Podcast what it is. Season four kicked off this year on February 4th with episode 166. Today is December 1st. 43 straight weeks of shows. No off weeks. 47 shows. Had a couple bonus shows in there. Who knows what 2021 will hold? Who would have thought there wouldn't have been two MIS shows this year? We didn't get to any races, but the one MIS show. Fingers fingers crossed, you guys, along with myself, are back at the track next year for sure. That said, this year, you know, who knows? 2019 was an amazing show, or an amazing season with shows, and that wouldn't have been possible without you guys and all that. I don't think there was maybe about 1 or 2 weeks this year to where there wasn't at least somebody on the show. That said, 47 shows, over 50 guests made their way onto the show, and a few with multiple appearances. So, man, anybody that's taken time out to be on the show, I am truly humbled and grateful for sure. And all right, I will have a bunch of more shout outs and thank yous at the end of the show. I think it's time to get to the first couple awards. But before I do, man, you guys, like I said, you guys retweet, you follow all that, but you also voted. We all know how important voting is, right? Man, over 200 votes were casted, which is pretty cool. So thank you guys so much for taking time to cast your votes for tonight's awards show. So without further ado, let's get things started with the three Driver of the Year awards categories for all three series. I talk about all three series. You guys play fantasy for all three series, so you have to do it for all three series. It only makes sense. So as I always do, I kick it off with the Truck Series. So let's kick it off with the Truck Series. With 32% of the listener fan vote, the Truck Driver of the Year, according to you, Lap Traffic Nation, goes to Sheldon Creed. Wow, that's awesome. I think you guys hit it for sure with Sheldon. And I mean, he got the most votes by anybody, 32%. Next closest was Zane Smith at 18%. And it was pretty spread out evenly after that. Brett Moffitt got 16%. Let's see here. Crafton got 18%. Enfinger got about 13%. So, I mean, after Sheldon Creed, it was pretty even. But, man, Sheldon ran away with that one for sure. That is awesome. All right, let's keep it rolling. The Xfinity Series Driver of the Year, as voted by you guys, no surprise here, with over 57% of the vote. The next closest came in at 10%, and then it was just a couple here or there. It goes to Chase Briscoe. Next up was Austin Cindric and Justin Allgaier tied, and then Noah Gregson and Ross Chastain tied. So you guys overwhelmingly thought Chase Briscoe was the Driver of the Year. And all right, we'll close out this little batch of them with the Cup Driver of the Year. Only 5 votes separated the winner from second place. The winner, 43.6% compared to 41.1%. But this year's Driver of the Year, as voted by you guys, Lap Traffic Nation, goes to Kevin Harvick, with second place, of course, being Chase Elliott. Chase obviously getting the votes there at the end of the year with the championship and all that. Obviously, well-deserved, of course. Lap Traffic Nation, man, I think you guys nailed the three Driver of the Years perfectly. Creed, great choice in trucks, separated himself pretty well from the votes. The Xfinity Series, while Briscoe didn't win the championship, you know, you guys recognize the fantastic season he had in Victory Lane multiple times. And the same with the Cup Series. Nailed it with the top two. Kevin Harvick, most wins. Chase Elliott, most popular driver, and our 2020 NASCAR champions. So great job with those votes there. All right, I'm going to break it up a little bit and talk about some of the stuff that I asked you guys to vote about on the show. So let's get to some of your suggestions and votes on topics for the show. Your favorite show segment coming in at over 33% of the vote. You guys voted the race reviews as your favorite part of the show. Granted, I took out the interview as being something you could vote on, because I'm sure that's everyone's favorite part and what you all come here for the most part. So after that, you guys love the race reviews, which is awesome. And then the next in line was the Lucky Dog segment, which is awesome. You guys know how much I love doing that, and you guys obviously do as well. So that's awesome. So this next one, I laughed when I looked at the results, and it was, you know, what's your perfect show length? And you guys, 53% said 45 to 60 minutes, 25% said 60 to 75 minutes, while 22% give me all you got. So I would say some of the shows maybe got a touch overboard this year with a few passing the hour 45 to 2 hour mark. I'll work on trimming some stuff down for next year to make the show a little bit more manageable. You know, I know there's a ton of content out there for you guys to listen to. So I will work on trimming things down a smidge, you know, maybe add some extra bonus shows to take some time off on the weekly Tuesday show for sure, which leads into, you know, how many bonus shows would you guys like? And 44% said once a month, and a good portion of you said, give me all you got. So I think once a month is a good target to shoot for. I try, you know, this year was weird because I know I asked this last year, and that was about the same response that I got. And, you know, between the bonus shows that I had planned with MIS, maybe doing some special things at some of the other tracks I was planning on getting to, as well as, you know, the listener shows and all that, you know, COVID kind of threw a wrench into all of that. So, you know, hit a couple bonus shows, not once a month, but got a few of them out there. And we'll look to try to do something similar for next year as well, provided things get back to normal. So the other thing I had asked you guys about were, you know, show topics, categories, things like that. And there were definitely some funny and cool responses that I got. So I just want to share some of the best ones with you guys. All right. So for some of the suggestions that you guys made for what type of bonus shows to maybe focus content around, I can't tell you. There were a bunch of suggestions for iRacing talk and the e-gaming and the streaming and all that kind of stuff. So if that's something you guys want, I will definitely look into doing something around that in 2021 for sure. I got something, you know, talk to different promoters about what's going on at their tracks. I try to get as many tracks on throughout the year as possible and will definitely be looking to increase different tracks coming onto the show and to let them use this platform to promote and hopefully get people to the track once permitted, because whatever I can do, which is very small, I totally get. But I've said it 100 times. I do not think the tracks get enough attention in terms of being able to promote. You know, you get your commercials and that's great in that specific area. But, you know, if you're out in California, you know, how much stuff are you seeing and hearing about why you need to go to Martinsville? And if you're listening to this show in California and you hear Martinsville come on the show and that sparks your interest to go buy a plane ticket, I think that's incredible. So I definitely will do my best to get as many tracks on for sure. Maybe some type of average Joe drain off the track place to grab, you know, food and drink. I think that's great. Every track's probably got, you know, your marquee, you know, commercial stuff around the track. But, you know, what happens if you drive 20 minutes down this road and turn right down another dirt road? You know, what local place are you going to find some locals and have a great time at? I think that's great. More listener call-ins. And then the one that really, really sparked and I'm like, I like this idea. Someone suggested a through the field segment. And I think that's a great idea, whether it's every week or maybe once a month, just a through the field. Where's everybody? What's a reset for everybody? I think that would be cool, and I will definitely be looking into doing something like that for sure. Some suggestions that you guys had for next season. For one, the number of positive comments that came in under this was just unbelievable. You guys are incredible, and thank you for all of the kind words. Did get some that said, you know, let's a little shorter show wouldn't be bad. And yeah, I would agree that there were some times where things got overboard. So I will work to trim the fat, if you will, a little bit and see what we can't do there. More talk about, you know, more suggestions about what NASCAR should make from a changes perspective and all that kind of stuff. I got some suggestions for the fantasy league, which is good. I got some suggestions to interview the drivers that aren't at the top, and hey, that's about all I get. So definitely look to get some more truck guys, Xfinity guys, and all that good stuff, and definitely have some fun with that. So thank you for all that continued the survey down towards the bottom and leaving some feedback for the show. It was definitely appreciated. So, all right. We'll pick back up here with the awards in just a minute. First, let's do a little Lap Traffic social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and of course, Instagram and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Hell, you can even tell Alexa to play the Lap Traffic Podcast, and she will. Be on the lookout early next year for some new giveaways and all that good stuff. I will, of course, continue to send out stickers and koozies upon request, and I will be definitely sending out the fantasy prizes and the awards out later this week. So be on the lookout. If you've won, you're going to get some mail here in the next week or so. Okay, let's pick things back up. Let's pick it up with the shock and awe moment of 2020. You guys thought the Cup Driver of the Year was close. How about this one? It came down to a one vote difference. 35.86%. The winner of the shock and awe moment was Kevin Harvick missing the final four. 35.3% was Ryan Newman at the Daytona 500, which I imagine would have won by leaps and bounds had Harvick not missed the final four. I think it's crazy that Kevin Harvick wins Driver of the Year and the shock and awe moment, which is crazy. Everything else, all the other categories, not even worth, like, barely even scratching the pie chart that they gave me for all of the results here, which is absolutely crazy. Okay, we're going to keep pressing on because I've got a couple guests still lined up for you guys tonight. Race of the Year. This is one of my favorite categories. There have been four different winners. Was really hoping to get someone from the track on. Unfortunately, was not able to make that happen, but hopefully that trend picks back up next year. The Race of the Year with 22.7% of the vote went to, and the winner is the Daytona 500, which I think that's pretty cool that the first race of the year was able to be fresh in your minds to carry through at the end of the year to win the Race of the Year. Second place coming in at 19.7, only about six votes back, was the first race back after COVID at Darlington. And then, you know, pretty even throughout there on the other choices there, which is very, very cool. So, all right. There are three categories left, and there are three guests that I'm about to bring on, which I am very excited about. So let's keep it rolling. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. He didn't even know he was going to be on. He didn't even know he had his own category because he ran unopposed. Joining me on the line is the winner of the Intern of the Year Award. It's Dan Ryan. Dan, what's up, brother? How are you, man?
Intern of the year. Are you kidding me?
That's right. You're the intern of the year. Yes. Yes.
I didn't even know I had competition. Was there, yeah, what competition was I up against?
You ran unopposed, so I didn't even have to put it on the ballot for this year. So.
Oh my God. This is by far the best outcome of any election this year.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, first off, let's talk about that. What's life as a Lap Traffic intern been like for you as of late, man?
It honestly has been very fun. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of people who have asked me, you know, what's this that you're doing and what's this internship you're doing? Because everybody's seen it on social media. And it's been a lot of fun. I've been, you know, doing so many things, like from starting out when I ended up going to Darlington and kind of covering that race for the Instagram, through all the giveaways I've done, through all the people we've connected with through this show. It's been a lot of fun. So I've definitely, it's been a crazy past couple months.
Yes.
But it's definitely been really cool to be to be on the inside scoop of the show here.
Yes, no, for sure. I've loved having you. And, you know, for those that don't know, Dan's kind of started an actual paying gig, which is totally understandable and a necessity in life. So, you know, we hope Dan's back in some capacity next year, and we're going to work that out in the off season and all that good stuff. But, I mean, you basically doubled the Instagram following, which is awesome. You got an awesome giveaway from Hunt Brothers Pizza for the 5,000 that was the 200th episode show. Yeah, Dan's done some stuff, and it's been awesome, and happy to have you on and all that good stuff. That's for sure, man.
It's definitely been a lot of fun. I loved it, and I was so happy we were able to do what we did with the show. And I'm not, don't you worry, I'm not going to fall a lap behind. I'm going to stay in touch, and we're going to definitely keep this going here.
I love a good pun. Yes, I do. All right, Matt, well, what'd you think of the season, man? It's over. You know, there were times we thought we were going to get it in. We weren't going to get it in. We got it in. What's your take overall on the 2020 season, man?
I mean, hey, for NASCAR to be the only sport out of anybody that's finished an entire season on schedule, like on time, I would give them a lot of props for that.
Absolutely.
As far as the racing goes, I mean, let's talk about that finish of the playoffs. Like, that was the most unexpected. That I do have to say, I feel like the playoff brackets, you know, people can love it or hate it, but I feel like it came into play, and it was definitely created a spectacular ending for everybody.
Absolutely. You know, and I mentioned it on last week's show, you know, everybody thought the final four battle was going to be with Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin. Mm-hmm. Little did we know that battle was going to be a one race shootout, basically, at Martinsville is where we got the Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin battle. And, you know, we all saw how that panned out. We'll get to that in a minute here. But, you know, Chase Elliott carried the momentum from Martinsville. You know, I think if he didn't win and he had just gotten to Phoenix on points, he probably would have been the underdog. I think the fact that he won at Martinsville probably put him second behind Denny. I think Denny probably was the favorite before we dropped the green flag. And, you know, Chase just showed his dominance, you know, to come from the back, too. That's the key thing that's gotten overlooked just because of the fact that he won the championship. But the dude came from last place to first place and won the championship. Like, that's huge.
I am so happy over the fact that out of anybody that it did go to him out of those final four, you know, he was really deserving. He fought really hard to be able to be there at the end and get that championship. And one of my best friends, he's a Chase Elliott fan, and he was so emotional the whole time. Sure. I was so happy for him because it was just really out of this year and everything that, you know, has happened to the 9 team and all the drivers, and just the fact that it was able to end up there and happen for him, I was very happy to see it fall into his hands.
Absolutely. All right. Now we got to talk about Kevin Harvick. He's both of our drivers, which is kind of why Dan and I work so well together.
We connect on a lot. We agree on a lot of things. Yeah. Yes, we do.
So, all right. So Kevin Harvick doesn't make the final four. Bummer. Great year. And that's great. You could have a great year when we look back on things. You know, it's not going to change that he's not, you know, he's still going to the Hall of Fame. He won a bunch of races. You know, we just aren't buying a championship T-shirt and diecast and all that good stuff. But, you know, where are you at on Kevin Hart? Can he come back next year? Can he use this as a retribution tour in 2021?
I think that next year it's safe to say that Harvick will be back stronger than ever. And, you know, I think Kevin said it the best himself when, you know, in his post-race interview after Martinsville, and he said, you know, after the season that we've had, the championship was more like a bonus. And I so agree, because especially for somebody like, and I don't want to put this on myself, but somebody who's only been able to be a fan of Harvick for such a short time, to be able to see him in his prime of his career and be able to have a season like this and have so many wins, and being all of us being able to celebrate a win week after week, and having finished the season with 9 wins, I would say that would beat out having that one championship win any day. And I totally agreed with him, and I was very happy to see, you know, his reaction be that, you know, the championship was kind of like a bonus compared to the season that he had. And so I feel that, you know, we might not be walking out with the big cup trophy, but we got 9 other big ones to go with it that can make up for that very easily.
Sure,
so,
sure.
And I believe that he will be back stronger than ever next year. And I cannot wait to see, especially for the whole Stuart Haas stable. And, you know, the 14 with Bowyer leaving, you know, it's not like he's not leaving it. He's definitely leaving it in good hands going with Chase Briscoe. And I can't wait to see what that team has to deliver next year.
Absolutely. I'm with you. All right. 2021. What's something NASCAR, whether it's a track we're going to, schedule change, you know, what are you looking forward to seeing in 2021?
This is probably going to either, people are going to love me or hate me for saying this, but I'm actually kind of excited to see the Bristol Dirt Race in the spring. It's just going to be something different. And NASCAR, being that it was kind of built up on the whole dirt race, you know, dirt racing theme, it's something that a lot of people my age had never gotten to experience. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. And, you know, being that it's early in the season in the spring race at Bristol, I think that it's kind of like a hit or miss just to go and see what it's like and what happens. I think NASCAR has been very bold with a lot of the schedule changes this year. You know, you look at tracks that we've never been to before, like COTA, and, you know, so many other, you know, interesting things that they put into the schedule this year. I think it's going to turn out to be a very exciting year, and hopefully we can be back at the track to see some of these races and have fans go back. I know that I'm looking forward to it, and I know that a lot of other people want it to happen. So hopefully, you know, given the fact that we are able to have such an accomplishment off of the 2020 season and really make the best out of it for what it was and what we were able to do with it, I feel that that gives the sport itself a lot of good momentum rolling into the 21 season.
Absolutely. I'm with you. All right, man. We'll wrap with this. Any plans for the holiday off season? We got, you know, Christmas coming up. We just ate some turkey and all that good stuff last week. What's coming up in the off season for you?
I know one thing's for sure. I have to be working very hard to fulfill my diecast budget after this year. That freaking diecast debt is almost as much as my student loan debt right now. I'll tell you that much. So a lot of work. But, you know, I think everybody, especially after a year like this, I think we're all just going to want to take a breather and have a big relaxing and as much of an enjoyable holiday as we can. And then we just got to gear up for what's going to come in 2021 and hope that it's a lot better. And I think that's really kind of right now how the holidays are going to be for us here at the Ryan household.
Excellent. I love it. All right, man. Where can everybody follow you on social media?
Don't worry about following me. Follow Lab Traffic PC on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's the most important thing. Because then you can find me on there as well. My Instagram is Dan_Ryan, and I'm on Twitter at DRyan5962. So go follow me, follow the show, and like and subscribe to Lap Traffic Nation.
I love it. All right, man. Have a great holiday season. Lap Traffic Nation, your intern of the year, Mr. Dan Ryan. Dan, we'll catch you soon, man.
And congratulations to all the other recipients of the Lap Traffic Awards. You all deserve it. Thanks so much.
All right, man. We'll catch you soon. See ya.
Have a good one.
Bye. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, you see, everybody always forgets about the awards. We call it the get off the stage music there, right? I always love throwing that in there because the guy on the other line can't hear it. So it just makes it that much funnier on the playback for the live version of the show. All right. It's time to keep things rolling. We got 2 more to go. Let's get and find out who is the weather personality of the year. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, we are down to just 2 more categories, and this one I'm excited about. In the only head-to-head category this year, as expected, it came down to a narrow margin. Joining me on the line, he is your 2020 weather personality of the year with just a 7-vote lead. It is Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. What's up, man? Congratulations.
Thank you. The doctor is in the house.
Yes.
And you mentioned it, and that was the first question I asked when you texted us both to say I had won. And I'm like, how many votes?
Yeah.
I would have felt really stupid because I voted for Brian. I encouraged other people to vote for Brian.
Yes, and he did the same for you. Yes, yes.
No, I don't think he did, but okay. He voted for himself. That's fine.
Well, no, I did see him tweet out to go vote for you.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
You are right. Yes. I'd forgotten about that.
Yes.
No, no. Yes, he was. Yeah, because he. Yeah, that was good. No, but nah. And I'm just thrilled. I'm surprised. Personally.
Well, so you know, I try to switch up some of the categories. You know. For the most part, you know, and I did this one last year, and Brian got it last year. You got it this year. Both were very narrow margins. And I think that this category is going to have to come back one more year for the rubber match. And then this category is going to get retired after next year. So,
okay.
Well, unless we add a third or a fourth guy in the rotation.
No, honestly, Brian and I, here's the thing. Brian and I are friends, and there is no animosity. I didn't feel any animosity towards him last year.
Yep.
I hope he doesn't feel the same this year. We're best friends, and we joke and we support each other. And I know he had a busy year between, you know, still getting adjusted to his new job.
Yes.
You know,
well, it's COVID, just a fun way to get engagement in the show for the most part. And that's why I love the fact that it was so close. Cause you know, it was, you know, you guys tweeted it out a bunch and all that and got nice response in terms of total ballots and all that good stuff, which is awesome. We'll see. And we're going to at least do this category one more year to see who breaks the tiebreaker. That's for sure.
That I can live with.
That's for sure.
It'll be the prophylactic match. Yeah. Sure, I'm done with that.
All right, man. It's been a minute. You know, we got to talk some Michigan sports. And let's...
We have to?
Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't. How's that?
Okay.
Man, let's start with the Michigan Wolverines, who gave up their first – or gave Penn State their first win on the year. That just shows you how crazy 2020 is. Penn State was 0-5. Who would have thought that? Michigan laying these goose eggs like crazy. What is this, their first time they've lost? There was some crazy stat in terms of the amount of losses that they've had or something like that. I can't recall.
I would imagine it's losses in their first X number of games.
Something. It's got to be something like that.
I think it's that. Yeah, because they're 2-4. Yeah, I can't ever remember having a 4 losses six games into the season.
No. All right. I know we've talked about it. I mean, this far in, I mean, is Harbaugh coming back next year at this point?
I hope not.
Right?
I don't know, but this is always the argument, is who are you going to replace him with? Do we go back? And I think this was actually mentioned on the broadcast this past Saturday. You know, we brought in Lloyd retired.
Yep.
They brought in Rich Rod.
Yep.
Not a Michigan guy.
No.
I will tell you from personal experience, and I know some of my teammates disagree, but we felt very alienated as a football alumni group under the Rich Rod administration or whatever.
Sure.
You know, there are now alumni groups to make sure that doesn't happen again. And maybe that gets said from Ward to whoever candidate hired is.
Yep.
You have to make sure you reach out to this group. They have a lot of pull.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a crazy time at Michigan, because at this point, all right, you know, John Harbaugh's name carried some weight in the first couple years. John Harbaugh weight from a recruiting standpoint isn't carrying any weight. I mean, if I'm a player, you know, why do I want to go play for Michigan? They haven't done anything, you know. So from that's
right.
The one thing for me to where I could see, like, all right, you know, you're now 6 years in, you're going to be impacted by a lack of recruiting class at this point, because you haven't done anything to show the 17, 18 year olds to come play for me. It's all about the what can you do for me now, and how am I going to get to the NFL? How am I getting to my payday?
Which exactly.
I don't blame that thought process, you know. So it's like, you know, how are you going to attract and steal from the Alabamas, the Ohio States to come to Michigan? And John Harbaugh's record, you know, if I'm a 17, 18 year old, that's great. The big block M, and it's got notoriety and, you know, a national fan base. But, you know, if I ain't gonna win, that doesn't help, you know, that person. And, you know, it's team and individual all at the same time when we're talking about college football.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking here as you're saying this, I want to reinforce some of your thoughts and take it a little step further. I think the brand is tarnished. You have not seen a big movement in skill position players to the NFL.
Sure.
The line, the linebackers, both sides of the line, have gone and done well. Running backs don't. Quarterbacks don't. And, yeah, Jim's supposed to be a guy who develops quarterbacks, and he hasn't been.
Yep.
And you made the point yourself. If you've got these four high-level four and five-star recruits who really do have aspirations of playing in the NFL, and we're not producing NFL talent, now you're bringing in, and this isn't a negative, lower-level four and three stars.
Yep.
Your recruiting class slips. But what you then need, and there are teams that can do that. There are programs that can do that. But don't have the assistant coaches that are elevating the players.
Yep. Well, that's how Michigan State got to the Final Four the one year. It was with, you know, high three and low four recruits that they just built up a massive kick-ass defense, and they went and stomped it. Now, they get to the playoffs, and, you know, tides turned real quick. But MSU got to the decade or so with those, you know, mid-tier recruits, and they – proof that you can do something with that. You can develop that into a solid football team. But like you said, you know, Michigan doesn't have the coaching staff to be able to go and develop that.
And if Ward decides, you know, we are on a first name basis, so I will call him Ward. If Ward makes a decision that Harbaugh gets another year, Don Brown's got to go. And I would be okay with that. If that's a decision that the athletic department makes to say, okay, Jim, you got one more year, because this was a really unusual year. The defense and the lack of passion on defense is troubling.
Yep, yep.
I saw a guy, and this was a big Facebook thread that I saw and contributed to. I saw a guy miss two tackles. He missed two tackles on the same play.
Yeah, yep.
It went by him. He missed a tackle. The guy reversed the field, and he missed the tackle again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
– how do you score that?
Yeah, that's not Michigan defense. None of it is Michigan. None of it is the product of Michigan that I grew up watching. That's for sure.
No, and that was – and I was part of those teams. I think – I would imagine you grew up – because I was there 84 to 87. So were you watching Michigan football?
I was two. I really started –
But that was still Moeller and Carr, and they still had that defense passion because both Moeller and Carr were defensive coaches.
Absolutely, yes. All right. I think we've bored the audience with Michigan football.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk Michigan basketball next. Oh,
well, we got to save that for the offseason. all right, Matt, what do you got coming up for the holidays? You doing any traveling? You going to get to relax? What's going on?
I'm not even sure I can get past the county lines down here in Oklahoma anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. It's kind of like that up here. I hear you.
No plans. Alex is coming up middle of the month. He's got work obligations into the holidays. He's got finals coming up, so we're going to spend some time together. End of next week. This is just absolutely flying.
Yeah, I hear you. Yep.
And hopefully, Exo Consulting. We just, I hate to say relaunched, it's revamped. We've added some motorsports services. I've already had a couple of drivers reach out. I am coordinating with kind of in preliminary talks with another marketing company that actually kind of approached me about possibly doing some work together, because their company fills a gap in what we don't have.
Cool.
That's awesome. It's been very positive, the reception. And anybody who is listening and not following at Exo Consulting, please go follow.
Yes.
We've got some really interesting and some real, I'll say, fun things coming up. And hopefully we'll have a big announcement within a week and a half, 2 weeks. I hope. We all hope. And it'll be I think NASCAR Nation will be very approving of the news we hope to announce.
Excellent. Well, I am very excited to hear about that. Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you go follow Aaron at RaceWeather and at XO Consulting. Aaron, thank you for all that you do for the show, the listeners, the followers, the updates. Looking forward to having you and Brian back on the show next year. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Stay safe. Stay healthy. All that good stuff.
Happy holidays and all that good stuff to you. And I love seeing your trees. So you inspire me.
Thank you. Appreciate you. All right, brother. We'll catch you soon.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, Lap Traffic Nation. Did you see how much I am hoping for the future with Michigan football there, and that I kept calling Jim Harbaugh John Harbaugh just because hashtag dreams can come true. I don't know that one specifically is going to come true, but hey, like I said, we can all hope, right? All right. It's down. It's time for the grand finale. It's the last award of the night. It is the guest of the year. Who won this? Oh, I'm so excited to find out. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time for the final award of the night. I'm so excited about this one. I picked the candidates, so to speak, just like I did last year. I pulled some of the highest downloaded shows, and whoever the guest was that show was nominated. And so joining me on the line, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic podcast, he's the senior associate producer. He runs the social media for NASCAR on Fox. He might love the truck series more than I do. He is the 2020 Lap Traffic Podcast Guest of the Year, beating out last year's winner, Jeff Striegel and Jayski. You know who it is. It's CJ Wolliver. CJ, what's up, man? How are you?
Man, I think that's the best introduction I've ever received. That was awesome. I just kind of sat back and listened to it. So, man, that is incredible. I can't thank you guys enough even for putting me on the list. I mean, I came on once, and that's really cool to know we got a bunch of downloads and
yes,
stuff, man. That's awesome.
The show did real well. The first timers tend to do pretty well on the show because no one's heard them before on the show, so people want to hear, you know, what do they bring? And you brought it, and the numbers were there to support it. And I'm glad, you know, I don't think the voicemail that you left a couple weeks ago campaigning for yourself, I don't think that had any influence.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That guy said clearly that he was not CJ Wolliver, so I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate his vote.
That's awesome, man. Well, congrats. I'm so happy. It was great to have you on, and the friendship that we've developed since has been great. And you know, like I said, it was close. It was down. It really came down to you. Jayski and Jeff Striegel were the top three vote getters for the category this year. And you narrowly beat out Jayski, actually, which is pretty cool. So it's a fun way to get.
I tell you, to even be in the same competition as those guys, that's an honor in itself. I can tell you, we had fun. I think the Kyle Busch comment, you know, Kyle Busch being the new Dale Earnhardt, probably didn't hurt me any.
Nope.
But to know that I was in the same group as those guys, that's incredible.
I love it, man. All right, let's have some fun here for a few minutes. Let's start with how's the Christmas decorating? Is the house all decorated?
Yeah. See, it's the first Christmas in a new house.
Yes.
So we don't necessarily have our process and all of our pieces completely down yet, because once you kind of get in the roll of things after you've been doing it 4 or 5 years, you're like, this goes here and the snowman goes here. So we're still kind of feeling it out, and I think we'll add a couple more things, but I'm happy with where it's at if we were to leave it as
Excellent.
It is.
Excellent. Yes.
I got Frosty out front, and we you know, we did the classic Christmas bulbs.
Yes.
So I'm happy with it. I think it looks good.
Excellent. I love that. All right, man. The end of the 2020 NASCAR season, it was kind of crazy. You know, it was like an end that we were all able to take kind of like that sigh, deep breath, like, oh, thank God we got this all in. It was crazy because of the excitement level in terms of we had a different Final Four than maybe we would have thought we were going to get when the playoffs started. Chase Elliott wins back-to-back races, most popular driver. You know, the legacy of the Elliott name and to come from last place to first place and win Phoenix. You know, it was very emotional last few weeks of the season. What did the end of the season mean for you, and what are you looking forward to in 2021?
So the first thing that has been that I've been thinking about looking back on the 2020 season, I know that in the past and currently, there are some times where fans will rail against NASCAR leadership. I know there have been times where they have made decisions that they felt was the best move for the sport that sometimes a portion of fans didn't agree with. But I will say, looking at what NASCAR faced in 2020, how they were able to work through it and get in an entire season. I know there were dates that we lost. I know there were things that were shuffled. But to be able to come out at the end of 2020, knowing that we got the races in, knowing that we had a competitive season, and not even to mention that we even had the first ever race that was delayed from a Sunday to a Wednesday, three consecutive days, NASCAR showed the world that we can work around and be safe in the pandemic. And they were the example, I think, for sports to be able to get back to provide that entertainment for people that are trying to be safe and stuck at home. So I'm very, very happy and impressed with NASCAR that we got the season in. But yeah, the Kevin Harvick not making it to the final four, it's really no secret that nostalgia-wise,
yes.
I always just end up keeping a little bit closer eye on Kevin Harvick sometimes just because he was my driver growing up. But you got to show up when it's important. And no matter who it is and no matter the sport, there are times when it is more important to be on your game. And starting with that rain-delayed race at Texas, it just seemed like he was off at the exact worst time. Now, I mean, it's still an incredible season. 9 wins in 1 year, that's amazing. But Chase Elliott was good when it counted. Winning the last 2 races, if you could win 1 race in the last 2 races and guarantee that, that's all you need to do to be a champion. So you got to show up when it counts. Harvick didn't. I'm very happy for a lot of fans because, you know, our most popular driver won the championship. You can't really ask for a better storyline than that as somebody that covers the sport. So I think the future looks very bright. We've got Bubba Wallace with Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin in 2021. We've got Clint Bowyer in the Fox Sports booth in 2021.
Yes.
Hopefully, probably not the entire season, but hopefully at some point we get back to some semblance of normal and we can have an unlimited amount of fans at the racetrack. And at some point in 2021, that's going to happen. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I am excited for that.
Absolutely. I'm with you. You know, and as you mentioned and talked about Chase there, you know, winning the last 2 races. I mean, hey, he went Kevin Harvick style. That's how Kevin Harvick won the 2014 championship. He won at Phoenix to be able to go win at Homestead. So, yeah, it's all about shining at the right point in time, man. That's for sure.
And how incredible was it at the end of that race? You know, it was that we literally got to see the torch be passed.
Yes.
You know, the Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott high five after that championship. That's probably what? That's a top 10 moment of the sport,
right?
That's
something that a rain delay 10 years from now, they're going to be showing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely in top 10 of what I would call the modern era. But yeah. I really, you know, there are moments that stand out easier to me. But of the last, you know, of the last couple decades, man, that was an incredible moment. It's up there for me.
I'm with you 100%. All right, man. I want to get this take from you just because, you know, you've got such a unique and cool role with NASCAR on Fox. You run the social media things. You've got the hot pass thing that you'd like to do at the track that, you know, unfortunately, circumstances beyond your control played a role in that this year. If you can share anything in terms of what Fox and all that has done, you know, what type of prep work is going into creating content keeping the pandemic in mind for the unique content that needs to be provided under a situation like this for 2021?
Well, so when Atlanta was canceled, Fox told us all to stay home. It said, this is serious. We all need to kind of be paying attention to this. Everybody be safe. Let's go to the house and everybody work remote. And I never really had any doubts that the Fox Sports Digital team could, I mean, we could work on the moon if we could find Wi-Fi, I think. But, you know, luckily we had a close relationship with TV and production, and they were still sending teammates to the track while they were being safe and tested and social distancing when possible. And so we were able to work with them to get a lot of content that they sent us that we could then turn around. But ultimately it was just a lot more creative. It was a lot of stuff that, you know, highlights from years past and reactionary news after it happens, not necessarily behind the scenes news. Bob Pockrass was a huge asset for the NASCAR on Fox Digital team, because even from his apartment in New York, he was still felt like he was in the media center every weekend. He's so plugged in. He's just always got his finger on the pulse of what's happening in the sport. And so really, we've worked remote, at least from the office, for the second half of the year now, for a, you know, of course, for a very long time, ever since we've been doing this. So we know how to work, not necessarily at the track. So it was just a matter of substituting stuff for more creative the first half of the year and just kind of treated it like the second half.
Awesome. No, for sure. That's awesome that the technology was there and that you guys were able to, you know, make those adjustments on the fly and be able to keep things running smoothly behind the scenes so that the followers and the viewers and all that didn't feel like they were missing a beat at all.
Yeah, it definitely felt like we hit the ground running when we came back with iRacing. Clint Bowyer definitely made our jobs a little bit easier there, because anytime he opens his mouth, it's potential content. So I'm very excited for him to be in the booth for every race in 2021 and forward. But it's been a lot of, you know, staying in close contact with your teammates and that sort of thing. Just make sure you're all on the same page. But, you know, Zoom's made that pretty easy. So it's definitely been a unique year, but I'm very happy with the way we covered the sport from the house.
Absolutely. I love it. All right, man, I'm going to put you on the spot, because I think you and I would have a lot of fun doing this sometime in the month of January, man. What do you say you and I get together and we do a show dedicated to the truck series? We can talk past, present, future, tracks, potential, et cetera, all that good stuff, man. What do you say? You in for that?
Man, I love the trucks. That sounds like a blast. The only reservation I have is I was thinking about how cool it was. You know, I came on one time, I win guest of the year, and then I wouldn't necessarily call this a guest spot. You know, this is a segment. So
yes, yes.
I could do one and done, man, and that feels pretty legendary.
You go walk,
if Mike, I'm being honest.
Mike drop
just
it.
Walk off. Yeah, just walk off into the sunset. I did it one time and I won. But no, man, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, hey, I mean, listen, look at it this way. You could be the first guy ever to get back-to-back guest of the year appearances, apparently. So, you say that
like I'm only going to be on one time.
Well, no,
year,
but
I got a whole year now.
Oh, listen, don't tempt me with a good time. I'll call you every month, man.
No, it's been a lot of fun, buddy. I've definitely enjoyed being on your show. And it's been great kind of getting to know you and your audience. So thank you guys for having me.
I love it, man. All right. Where can everybody follow you on social media, man?
I am CJ Wooliver. That's Oliver with the W in front of it on everything. But the work page is going to be a lot more fun for you. My stuff's a lot of Morky Dog posts, some NASCAR. You'll like the NASCAR on Fox handles better with a blue check mark across the board. So just definitely looking forward to getting some Daytona content on there. It's coming. But also, Bob Pockrass, he started it today, but he's going to be counting down the top 20 memorable moments of the 2020 season. So definitely stay tuned. We're going to have that coming for the next 19 days.
That's awesome. I love that. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks thanks to CJ for calling in tonight. Hey, man, I got some hardware coming your way. Congrats on the win. Hope you and the wife have a great holiday season, off season, and look forward to talking to you soon, man.
I've already got a spot cleared out for you. You have happy holidays too, buddy.
Thanks, man. We'll catch you soon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is it for the awards. Thank you so much to everybody that voted and helping make this special and fun. Before I close this thing out, I've got some special thank yous that have to be said. And first off, Lap Traffic Nation, you guys were incredible this year, as you are every year, ups and downs with life sometimes. You know, that happens. And this show helps get me through bad days some days, knowing that I can come and do this. So thank you for listening. Thank you for following. Thank you for retweeting. Thank you for being so supportive. Thank you for getting the show and the word out there. And thank you, Lap Traffic Nation, for being so incredible. Next up, I have to thank my wife. You guys have heard me joke about Lindsay, and seriously, there are not many wives that, while she may give some flack every once in a while about the phone being in my face and having to watch a race and having to schedule plans around the show and racing, there aren't many wives that would be as tolerant as to the amount of time and effort that I put into the show. She knows how much the show and what it how much I love doing it and what that means to me. And she is so supportive of everything that entails. She's my rock. She keeps me grounded. So a huge thank you to my wife, whom I love dearly. Lindsay, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Michigan International Speedway, you guys are the best. If not for you guys, who knows where this show would be. I owe so much of the success of Lap Traffic to MIS. Cannot wait to hopefully get back there next year in true Lap Traffic fashion. And speaking of races, last year I said in 2019 when I did this show, if you had told me in February of 2019 that I was going to get to six different race weekends, I would have laughed. I would have laughed this year, having planned about six races to go to, that if you'd have told me I was only going to get to an MIS race, I would have laughed. You never know what life has in store for us, and I hope like hell to be able to celebrate racing again with you guys in person at some races next year for sure. And last but not least, my boys over at the PETM podcast, you guys are incredible. Love you guys. It's been fun to do some extra collaborations with you guys this year, especially during our extra off season. Can't wait to do stuff with you guys in the future. And speaking of PETM, old Sherwin is coming to hang out. Sherwin and I were on the phone the night before Thanksgiving, and a beverage or two may or may not have been had, and a plane ticket by old Sherwin may have been purchased. So Sherwin's coming up over the holidays to come hang out for a couple days, and I cannot wait. I'm sure some podcast stuff will be done at that point in time. That is for sure. All right, last but not least, thank you to all of the guests that came on this year and were a part of Lap Traffic in 2020. Tyler Riddick, the PETM Podcast, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Grant Enfinger, Auto Club Speedway, Justin Haley, Jeff Striegel, the MOATF Podcast, Larry McReynolds, Charlie Langenstein, Eric Jacuzzi, Dan Wetzel, Jayski, Noah Gregson, Drew Dollar, Mason Diaz, Alex Hayden, Thad Moffitt, The Orange Cone, Michael Palmer, Woody Kane, AJ Allmendinger, Austin Hill, Chase Briscoe, Dave Santia, Off Access Paint, Briar Star, Rick Brenner with MIS, Jim Wise with Firekeepers, Brian Rich with Consumers, Austin Sindrick, Plan B Sales, Chris Busher, The Racing Warehouse, Miles with You Betcha, Jeff Gluck, Ryan Blaney, NASCAR Chasm, Todd Gilliland, CJ Wolliver, Karen Grant with NASCAR, Dover and Nashville Super Speedway, Brett Holmes, Peak Auto, Steve Letarte. Man, what a list. And a lot of those made multiple appearances throughout the year. Man, that just gives me goosebumps looking at all that. I almost did it as good as Rusty would have. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 212 of the Lap Traffic Podcast and tonight's award show. This is the official wrap of season four of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter and Instagram at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show, all that good stuff. Thank you again to you, Lap Traffic Nation. Hope you all have a great holiday season, a great new year. Stay safe, stay healthy. Stay tuned to social media for updates on the show, next year's Fantasy League. Enjoy some of the best ofs and all that good stuff. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!